Let's now turn our attention to God's holy words as found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, great Sermon on the Mount in which the Lord did much teaching on how to be a Christian, really. This is certainly a sermon meant for the saved, those being saved. And here he has given in chapter 6 advice, counsel, word on alms and on prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and so on. I want to take up the first few verses of chapter 6 in the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 through 4. Hear now, dear people of the Lord, God's word. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand does, that thine alms may be in secret, and the Father which sees in secret himself shall reward thee openly. May the Lord bless this portion of his word. Again, Lord Jesus, blessed to us. Bless it to our hearts, to our minds. May it operate in us in a very powerful way this day and forevermore. For this we ask in your name. Be with us now in worship. Amen. Well, it's a touchy subject, I admit, to speak to people about how they should give. I suppose that it's even a little touchy to speak to people about how they should pray. What's right about it, what's not so right about it. But it's the Lord's doing, it's the Lord's advice, and so I am going to do my best this morning to give it to you straight, what he meant. I'm confident I know what he meant here. What he means, and it's good for us to pay attention to it. For all of us, I think all of us enjoy giving. We enjoy receiving, but we enjoy giving too. And as we get older, I hope it's the case that we enjoy more giving. Then receive. When we're young, you know, kids like gifts and birthdays and Christmas presents and all that, and they eat it up. And we like to feed their appetite as we get older. We like to give. And I hope that that continues to happen as we grow up. This is a particular type of giving, though. This is almsgiving. And the word alms comes from an old English word, almsy, which comes from the Greek word alimasuni. And what the Greek word means, and what our alms means really, is mercy or pity. So this is giving according to mercy. Giving to those whom we pity, not in a pathetic sense, but we feel sympathy towards. We care about greatly the poor and the needy. And so, as I said, this is a particular type of giving. Not necessarily the giving of Christmas gifts or birthday, which is fine. Not a put down. I'm one that believes in that. And kids, the bigger the gift, the better, right? Whichever. But this kind of giving, almsgiving, is with a specific purpose. It's in mercy. It's in pity. It's in kindness. It's towards the poor and the needy, particularly towards the brethren, Christians. It's for the sake of the gospel. It's for the cause of Christ. It's to show forth the mercy of God to another person. This is what Jesus is speaking of. And so I want to speak some more about that alms is something we do. That's going to be my first point, briefly. Then I'm going to talk about alms done in secret. What's that mean? Because that's the advice here given by our Lord, that we're to do it in secret. And then finally, I want to speak on the reward that we get from almsgiving. There is a reward that we get. But first, we come to this idea of alms that it's something to do. It's not merely something to think of, although we should think of it, and think of it often. It's not something that we speak of or only speak about, although we should speak about it. Of course we should speak about it. Examine it a little bit more. But it's something that we must do. It's not a question of doing. We need to consider doing this. Not just think about it, not just talk about it. We need to put action, right? The Lord says this very clearly. We might even overlook it. It's so obvious. Take heed that ye do not your alms. Okay, but when you do them, in verse 2. So he's talking about doing them. Putting feet to your prayer, as they say. Putting action to your faith, to your love. And not just sit back and do nothing. This is something we ought to do. We are to give to the poor and needy. We're to desire to help them. He also says in here that in verse 2, therefore, when thou dost it, it's not a question of if you're going to do it, when you do it. Surely you must do it, and when you do, you must do it in this way. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy that speaks along this line. If there be among you a poor man of one of your brethren within any of the gates in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart nor shut thine hand from the poor. Notice that the heart and the hand here are in sync. They coordinate. There is a completeness about this. Almsgiving manifests a faith, a desire towards those whom you love and even those perhaps whom you don't. This is certainly something we do for our brothers and sisters who are suffering, for those whom we desire to grow in truth and in knowledge. Right? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So if we see someone that needs our help, we're there. We're ever ready. It's not if, it's when you do it. And I don't need to ask any of you, do you give? Do you give alms? Do you care about those who are in need? That you know, that cross your path, that you've heard of. Do you desire with a strong desire to give to someone else? Again, we're not talking about your own family or your best friend. We're talking about a brother or sister that needs help. And even someone else outside of the church that needs help. Not someone that's going to squander the help and waste it or drink it away. Someone who needs help. I really want to help. I have this desire. And so Jesus is not here admonishing his disciples like, get with it. No. Rather, he's telling them, he's instructing them how you do this. How you should give your alms. How you should pay attention to this. Take heed, he says. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And so Jesus would have his disciples, would have us avoid being noticed, avoid drawing attention to ourselves when we, especially when we do these acts of kindness. Now, apparently there was something going on where he says in verse 2 here, do not sound the trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. Okay, wow. You mean they actually blew trumpets? They trumpeted the cause here? And I have read that that's what they did. They probably did something like that. They sounded trumpets. Well, that's not something that we want to... You want to get involved, and you say, well, who does that? And why would you do that? Well, Hollywood does that. They have celebrations and ceremonies. They give people honors and awards and mention their names. On and on it goes because of their acts of kindness or their care for this thing or that thing. In order to raise some money, they put a name to it, and they get all this recognition. Now, that's probably not why they were doing it here. I've read that they have they sounded a trumpet to let those who were in need know where to go. So they sound like a bell, you know, for dinner. And everybody's out in the field, and they ring a bell at the farm for dinner, and everybody comes and hears it and comes. Well, that may have been... this trumpet sound, the reason for this trumpet sound, to let the poor and needy know that there's someone that wants to help them. So they sounded this trumpet. Whatever. Jesus is telling his disciples and telling us, don't do it that way. It's a trap. It's a trap. You're going to fall prey to pride. It's going to go in the wrong direction. And you're going to end up in a ditch of pride or finding all this attention, all these people around you, and so on. That's not the way to go. So he's telling his disciples, when you do it, hide it. When you do it, your alms, hide it. Now, he says, do it in secret. What in the world does that mean? See, he says in verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret. What's he talking about there? So that no one knows it? How about the needy person to whom you give? The troubled person that you're helping. By secret, he means check your motives. Look at your motives. Look at the secret chambers of the heart from which the issues of life come forth. Check out your heart. Look at your motives. I have often brought this up. We are supposed to, according to the Word of God, eat, drink to the glory of God in Jesus Christ. So what's the difference between me, myself, and an unbeliever? We're sitting at the table. We have the same dinner put before us. Nice dinner. I like steak. Some of you do. Steak dinner with some appropriate vegetables and such. And the person sitting next to me has the same exact meal. One eats to the glory of God, the person that believes. The other eats to his own glory. One receives the delight of God, the blessing, the pleasure from God. The other receives cursing and damnation. The more he eats every day of his life without faith, the deeper he digs his grave. The deeper he descends into the pit of destruction. What's the difference? The food? No, food's the same. The way he's eating is a slob? No. Maybe neater than I. The difference is I do it in faith and he does not. It's the same with prayer. One person prays and he prays a wonderful prayer and it's interesting and it's right on. It's according to the word, but it's without faith. The other prays, similar prayer, similar way, beautiful prayer, sweet, according to the word, and this prayer is heard. What's the difference? The difference is the heart, the motive. God looks upon the heart, right? He doesn't look just outwardly. He looks upon your heart in every way, whatever you do. Well, this is the idea here. We're doing our alms in secret. What's the motive? Check out the motive. And you see, this is where it gets a little difficult. Because our motives are never 100%, right? They're never 100% pure. I have, along with good motives, some bad things going on. You mean to tell me that every time I give something to, in an act of kindness, that I desire to be merciful towards someone, that my motives are 100% pure, that I'm not thinking, well, this person should, you know, he should think I'm a pretty good guy. I don't say it that way in my mind. But I know that it's difficult for me to give to somebody that doesn't show appreciation. Isn't it? And I'm wondering why that is. Why do I need to be appreciated? Why does he have to show me appreciation? Why do I have to get a thank you from anyone? If I'm giving from my heart in secret for the glory of God and not in any measure for myself, why do I have to get some recognition? I think my motive's impure. I know my motive's impure. But that doesn't render it useless. That doesn't render it altogether evil. Nothing we do is 100% pure according to God's standard. We all fail. We all fall. But God is saying, our Lord is saying, do it in secret. That is, check out your motive. And don't do it to get credit. Don't do it to get attention. Don't do it for any other reason than the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Do it for the Father, not for yourself. People will come along and appreciate you and what's been done as an act of kindness in their own time, but they need to really thank God anyway, right? They don't need to thank you. And so, in order to help us, Jesus, our Lord, tells his disciples a little bit more here. He says that when you do alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, how do you do that? What's that mean? You know, when we do things, we do it with both hands, and there's something, you know, unusual about doing doing something that the one hand doesn't know what the other is doing. You know, we can explain that sometimes looks like our government's that way. The right doesn't know what the left is doing. But how do we do this? How do we give to someone in need? The right doesn't know what the left is doing. But what he means here, in order to help us understand how best to give, is, look, don't go with the desire to help the person with your right hand and with your left hand pat yourself on the back. Don't focus any attention on yourself. When you start focusing on yourself and what you're doing, on this act of kindness, on this act of generosity, whatever it may be, you're going to lose perspective. You're going to fall into spiritual pride. In other words, when you do something, don't think about it after that. Don't keep on thinking about what a good act this is. Don't think like that. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't let the left hand know what the right is doing. Do it. It's so do it and get out of there. Do it, leave it, go. Don't continue to think about it. Don't meditate about that. It's done. Praise the Lord. Move on. That's what Jesus means when he says, do not let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. Do not give with the one and pat on the other, or expect to be patted. So you should consider your works of mercy as being done for the Father in heaven, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which sees in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. So I'm doing this, I'm giving this for my God, why do I do this for the glory of God? Because He has done so much to me. He has shown to me acts of pity and kindness and mercy every day of my life, particularly when He introduced Himself in the Savior, when I first embraced the Savior in faith. I understood that He died for me. Jesus died for me. He specifically died on the cross for me. It wasn't potential. It wasn't to make it possible for me to go. No, He went to the cross with my sins and yours. He went to the cross carrying my sins and yours. And He died there for me. He suffered hell, the punishment of hell for me. He suffered that. That's an act of kindness. That's an act of mercy. And He hasn't looked for me to pay Him back in any measure. Also, God has given to me all spiritual gifts necessary in this world to maintain the faith and the hope that I need to maintain in this world, and every other promise fulfilled in Jesus Christ in the next. But He has given me His Spirit, a new life. I was living a life, a terrible life, and I remember it. It still haunts me. It's still in my dreams and in my thoughts. It's still there. I can't forget it. But it helps me in this way. I've been given a new life, and what a contrast it is to the old. And He gave that to me. In mercy, according to mercy, according to kindness, He just gave me a new life. I didn't even know what to ask for. I'm given this, and all the requisite gifts and fruits and all the promises, yea and amen. So when I give to another, to help another, as an act of kindness to another, I should be thinking of my Father, who is kind and merciful to me to this day. So that I have not yet fallen from the faith, and will not, because of Him. Because He continues to give me grace and what I need, what is necessary to live that new life, that sanctified life. And so I give in His name, for His sake. And every time I do that, I'm remembering His kindness towards me, and not how great I am. It takes a lot of effort to remember this, to do what Jesus is saying here, to give alms in the proper way. It's not easy. It's full of grace. This action is full of grace. And it's hard. Sometimes it takes every ounce of strength to do this. Because I don't feel like doing it. Not all the time. Sometimes I do. Sometimes it's just easy. But sometimes it's not. There's a reward. Finally, there's a reward. Well, Jesus says that the hypocrites, they have their rewards, right? In verse 2, He says that the hypocrites, they sound the trumpet, as they do in the synagogues here in the streets, that they may receive glory of men. Verily, I say to you, they have their reward. So if you want the applause of men, You know, if you want the attention of others from your acts of kindness, you'll get that. If that's what you want, you'll get it. If you want the pat on the back, if you want, in other words, people with which to compare yourself, because there's always somebody that's a cheap, no good, you know, and you're better than he is. And if you want, or you want to outgive somebody, there's always someone you can compare yourself to and get that pat on the back for yourself. You have your reward. That's it. In other words, what Jesus is saying here, the rewards that come from the earth, that come from men and women, you can get. If you want them, you have them. That's easy. But the reward that you get, in contrast, the reward that you get from the Father God, that's different. And that's the reward that you, Christian, want. So he's not encouraging, obviously he's not encouraging a mercenary spirit. A mercenary does things for some payback that he desires. I'll do this, and you have to do that for me. Once I do this, you have to do that for me. That's the way it works. Well, God's obviously, Jesus is not teaching that. But he's saying that if you do these things according to what the way he's teaching, the fine way he's teaching, then on the day of judgment, for example, what's the reward? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my glory. You were faithful with some things. I'm going to make you head and faithful over many things now. I'm going to give you cities. I'm going to give you these things. In heaven, you're going to be recognized and approved as a faithful servant of God. The reward that you get now is the joy that you are manifesting the glory of God. You are, in the name of Christ, showing mercy to another. There's joy in that. For the saved soul. Also, the reward that you get is knowing that the grace is working, the grace of God is working in you. Remember what Jesus said? He said, forgive others. As you've been forgiven, forgive others. If you don't forgive others, you're not forgiven. And so does God forgive me because I'm first forgiving others? No. The forgiving of others shows that I've been forgiving. Likewise, when I do alms according to the way Christ prescribes it here, when I give according to the glory of God, for the sake of God, for the sake of the Father in heaven, in secret, checking out my motive that it's the best it can be anyway, I know that the grace of God is operating in me, that the mercy of God is upon me. If I give mercy, I know I have mercy. If I give forgiveness, I know I have forgiveness. If I don't have forgiveness for anyone, how is the forgiveness of God upon me? If I have no mercy, no kindness towards anyone, no desire to see him saved and sanctified and growing, how am I saved? See, that's the way it works. That's the reward that we get. So this is a great thing to take notice of. Of which to take notice and apply. And it's going to apply all your life long. All your life long. And may God find us doing so. In every time we give, may he find us doing so. To the praise of his glorious name, let us pray. Heavenly Lord Jesus, we thank thee. We thank thee for the mercy that we have found in thee that saved us and sanctifies us. And to this day, we are saved and safe and gone en route to heaven because of thy mercy. work in us, in each and every one of us. Work, continue to work in us so that we would manifest thy glory. How? In this way, Lord, that when we give in secret, not allowing the left hand to know what the right is doing. We give to our Father who